You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Nation, once again, the Purple Project Podcast, back on the airwaves once again, here in Manhattan, Kansas, Eddie Greer III for the Purple Project Podcast, where we talk about all K-State athletics, or at least we try to anyways, try to be different than the other K-State podcasts that focus, well, on two biggest sports here in the Little Apple, football and basketball, but volleyball had their purple and white scrimmage, and cross country got done with their meet yesterday in Lawrence, taking second place in Lawrence in the cross country meet. The Purple Project Podcast, Eddie Greer III on this Sunday night, and I'm going to not mess around much longer. Bring on my co-host out there, out west in San Diego, California. Welcome back to the show, co-host Alex. What's up?
You know what, Eddie? A handful of things I just want to get out real quick. The first thing is we are recording this on a Sunday night, so I'm going to speak in that perspective, and people can just realize that when they listen on Tuesday or whatever coming up. But so my blood pressure is still coming up from the Chiefs game this afternoon. They played just awful today, Eddie. I mean, they looked as bad as I have seen them look in about a year. There was a game last year that they played against the Colts in maybe week 5, 6, something like that, where Mahomes is hurt. They're missing a lot of guys. This was the worst that they've looked, in my opinion, since that game. They looked like crap. But they found a way in overtime to win 23-20 on a 58-yard game-winning kick. And it made me, you know what it made me think about, Eddie? One of the first thoughts that came to my mind was last week we were talking on the podcast, and I said, you know what, Eddie, I don't care if K-State would have won by 3 points against Arkansas State. You know, great teams find a way to win, even when things aren't going well. And that was one of the first things that came to my mind. K-State couldn't find a way to close this game out. And then there was the Chiefs. Granted, I'm not comparing the Chiefs to K-State, but the point is, the Chiefs were down double digits in the second half. They might have been down double digits in the fourth quarter. And then they found a way, despite everything. The defense wasn't playing well. They had a bunch of injuries. Offensively, they couldn't move the ball, which is very odd for them. And they just found a way somehow to grind that game into overtime and to make enough plays and win. And that's the difference between good teams and great teams. Great teams, despite everything going wrong, despite playing like crap, despite whatever it might be, they find a way to win the game they're supposed to win. The Chiefs found a way to win that game. They about killed me doing it because I about had a heart attack. But they found a way to get that game done, get that game won. And that's an example of the difference when you look at the pedestals. I don't believe K-State's on that level. I believe K-State's still a good team, but I don't believe they're a great team, because if they're a great team, despite everything that went wrong last week, they would have found a way to get that win 31-28 and make a stop on that last possession. So I thought that was a really good example. I wanted to share that. And I guess that makes the Falcons the Does that make them the opposite, since they had a huge lead and they blew by one? I hate to bring it up, Eddie. I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say to you after that game. Sorry, I guess. All I can muster up.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for this podcast to do this moment right here that I'm about to do right here.
Go for it.
Go for it. I don't usually do it, but I ran earlier today, or I raced earlier today at the Concert Prairie today, this morning, a nice, cool,
Windy morning for that race there. Finished fifth. Won my age division. And then that, of course, that happened. So, yes. To the Falcons for choking another lead in the state of Texas. Both of them are devastating. Obviously, Super Bowl 51. Yeah, I mean, both of these, in my opinion, are definitely devastating. This one, along with some of the other people that I communicate with on Twitter, still can't wrap our minds around what had just happened. early this afternoon, I was pissed. So, that's all I'm going to say to that. Yeah, and we're going to see if we're going to get off the mat. Because this, we should have this one in the bag, especially on the road. I mean, the theory on road games, whether it's college football or NFL, is you got a team down, you want to get touchdowns, not field goals. And literally, we should have been up in that first quarter 20-0 instead of 20-0. We're easily moving the ball on that sucky Dallas defense. And yet, they pull one out of their butts. Yeah, it's definitely been frustrating. But I don't know, man. We're going to have to see. Arthur Blank's going to have to pull the quick hook on this one. There's no around about it. You can't go no stupid 1-7 or 2-7 or whatever. 1-7 that we were last year. That's unacceptable. You can't have that again. Or we're in trouble, man. We got a 2-0 Bears coming in the Atlanta next weekend. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to respond, but other than we better get our bleep together.
Well, Eddie, I will say I could feel your pain here watching the ending of that game because I was just like, because I wanted the Falcons to win because I'm not a big Cowboys fan.
Ooh.
I wanted to win, and it was, I just was like, oh, man. Like, I could feel your pain here, because I was just like 40-39. Oh man, because we talked last week about how Matt Ryan and his performance last week should be enough to win a game every week.
And then did it again today. Matt Ryan is not the reason why Falcons losing. Falcon fans are so stupid on Twitter that it makes me mad.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing great. It's 100% defense.
No turnovers on offense. 3 takeaways. And somehow lose that. Okay, so let me throw this stat at you. Alright, so I read this on Twitter multiple times. And the Falcons are the first team to lose. I think it was like some 400. I can't remember exactly, but it was 400-0 when a team scored 39 points and they've won the game. Falcons are the first team to lose, of course. So I thought that sound to be eye-popping at that. So, yet again, the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry, folks. I know it's not a Falcons podcast. Or
we just have to get that in. I had to get my Chiefs deal in because I went through that roller coaster of a game, which honestly was just me sitting on my couch fuming for 3.5 quarters, pretty much. And then, you had that. We both just had very interesting football games today, and like I said, yours was the Falcons was a very fun game.
It was
quarters for you, and then the Chiefs game was very unfun for me for 3.5 quarters. I don't even know if that's a word, but whatever. And then each of our teams just totally did polar opposites in the last half of the quarter, the last quarter, here we are.
Yeah, here we are indeed. Yeah, so, and the other thing that also pissed me off was the fact that Falcons, the onside kick, why are we standing around waiting for it to go 10 yards? Hop on the stupid football. The game's over. The game is over. The Dallas would have been penalized for not letting that kick go 10 yards. That was a slow turtle kick. And we're just going to let them stand there. And the kicker recovers the football. No.
I can figure it out. Like, just jump with the ball. Even if it's a a penalty, which I'm not even sure if that's a penalty or not, Eddie, if you jump on it before it's 10 yards or not, but who cares? That ball was kicked so weird. Just jump on it. And even if it is a penalty on you, which it may not be, I'm not 100% sure, but if it is a penalty, make him do it again. Make him kick that again like that. You know what I mean? Because it's so hard to execute an onside kick in the NFL. It's just so hard to do.
Yeah, Atlanta had nothing loose at that point anyway. Just jump on the ball. You never know what happens in that situation. So while the Chiefs find a way to win against the Chargers in overtime, Falcons find a way to lose another game they should have won. And speaking of which, the Big 12, the only game on the slate yesterday, Baylor. Holy smokes. Baylor, another scheduled game. This was a reschedule of a game of Houston. So Baylor, 2 weeks in, two canceled games, and I read the article last night. I believe the game was due to Baylor not passing COVID restrictions there. So again, I mean, you mentioned on the top of the podcast on Triple P already, COVID is a difference maker, and we said it all since this podcast started. Houston Baylor postponed, which left Oklahoma State fighting for their lives against Tulsa. 16-7, Oklahoma State struggled, and Oklahoma State would not, now without saying, they lost their starting quarterback, Spencer Sanders, in his ball game. Chuba Hubbard rushed for under 100 yards in this game. Tylan Wallace, 4 catches for 94 yards in the win there. Oklahoma State, see, difference right there. I know Oklahoma State, including myself, picked them to win. Well, I didn't necessarily make that prediction here in the podcast, but I played Oklahoma State over Oklahoma to win the conference. And see, they found a way to win this ball game, but Alex, it was very, very sloppy how they did it, especially Tulsa coming in to Boone Pickens Stadium, man, nearly pulling off the upset, another upset in the Big 12.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I was telling you before this podcast began that, you know, I really came to the realization. I began to come to the realization in week one. I think I mentioned it some on the podcast last week, but I'm definitely there now after watching even more teams in week two just struggle. And it wasn't just Oklahoma State, just seeing other ranked teams just really struggle in the Big 12. Just the way that they performed the first couple weeks, it's really become clear to me, Eddie, that this season, we just don't know what's going to happen. And it's clear that COVID and the situation that COVID has presented for these football programs has thrown everything out of whack. You know, I told you, Tulsa looked bad. They did not look good. They looked awful. They had so many penalties that just killed them. When they would have they'd be ahead of the chains. They get a penalty and they go behind the chains all day long. And they still scored a touchdown to take the lead with like 5 or 6 minutes to go. But well, of course, there was a penalty on that touchdown, and then they ended up missing a 30-yard field goal. And Oklahoma State went down. That game was a who wants to, you know? Well, I don't want to win. 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 Oh, well, I have to win. Okay. That's what that game felt like, honestly. The way they won. And, you know, it's just this season is just going to be so unpredictable. And to tie it back into K-State a little bit, hearing Chris Klotman speak this week, he said they had a bad week. They had a bad week with COVID. He said it was not encouraging. I don't know what that means, Eddie, but it's not good. So I don't know how many guys have COVID. I don't know if K-State will be able to meet the threshold. Something that we need to probably mention is that Arkansas State had to postpone their next game because they had too many players out with COVID, and K-State just played them two days before they postponed. So I don't know if K-State will be able to play Oklahoma on Saturday. Personally, I'm not sure. I'm not holding my breath that game will get played because I know K-State's clearly not in a good place from a COVID perspective, but
right.
But don't get me wrong, the game would get made up. They intentionally built in bye weeks, as we know, so you could make up games in those types of scenarios. But still, you know, it's just K-State was down about a dozen starters against Arkansas State. So was Arkansas State. And we look at these teams that are struggling because they didn't have much of an offseason program. You're seeing a bunch of injuries because players haven't been able to practice as much as they normally would. They're not in game shape. And you're seeing a bunch of players with COVID who are missing games. So what it has led to, especially in college football, that we've seen a lot in the Big 12, is really, really ugly football. In the Big 12, and quite frankly, I don't think that's going to go away. It's just going to be Big 12 teams playing each other, and so it'll be interesting to see what will happen as the weeks go on. And as Chris Klieman said in his press conference this week, this is something we're probably going to have to deal with the entire year, and I think that's the same thing. You're probably going to see Oklahoma State in other games looking the way that they did against Tulsa. But the thing is, you may see TCU playing like Tulsa, you know, so who the heck knows, but essentially, I think more than anything, Eddie, you really can't take things for granted if you're in any of these Big 12 schools right now.
Yeah, and I might have some inside information on that, on K-State, which that's actually a perfect transition. I got a friend that it's on the K-State team currently right now. And the word is, well, obviously they did. Dang it, I'm losing it. I lost the word that I wanted to say. Oh, they did. Dang, I can't remember. But they were punished this week for not following instructions, apparently, and still going to Aggieville, apparently. So that's the word I'm hearing about that situation. So.
Jump in and cut you off, but that does make a lot of sense. I really do apologize jumping in and cutting you off, but that makes a lot of sense because it was on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which day it was, but Chris Klieman had a press conference and he said, we didn't practice today. We had a lot of conversations that needed to be had instead. And so that would make a lot of sense. That is indeed
what
happened. No one knew what he meant. No one knew what he meant by that. I didn't know what he meant. I didn't know if it was social justice issues. I didn't know if it was because of the way that they played against Arkansas State not being focused. I didn't know what that meant. So you're probably right, Eddie. That inside information is probably right. They probably went down to Aggieville or did something.
Or somewhere, some parties or whatever. And I just don't understand it. I mean, yeah, we get it that we can't tell these 18 to 22, 23, or in this case, Justin Hughes, 25-year-old, the kids or adults or whatever you want to call them, you can't tell these guys what to do because they are invincible. And we've heard this, and I'm sure you've heard this many times before, but, I mean, you shouldn't be out anyways. I mean, you lost a game. Y'all lost a game, and you should have won. Gave away this game. I don't care if Arkansas State is a good team from the Sun Belt Conference. I mean, that's a game you should have won at home with a sparse crowd. Me and my wife were there. I mean, yeah, the atmosphere was way totally different. It felt like you're at a damn spring game. But, I mean, you guys had, dumb guys have no business being out. I mean, these guys need to get their head on a swivel real quick. I mean, even if they don't get to play this weekend, this game's going to get played. I mean, they have, like you said, they have bye weeks built in. Hopefully this game gets played at some point, whether it's this week or whenever. But still, circling back to my main point. These guys shouldn't be out there having a good time. These guys know what's going on. These guys can't be playing stupid. And yeah, I mean Chris Klieman, yeah, I mean he's didn't practice. See that's a lost practice right there. Yeah. I mean you need that valuable time that you lost in the summer. And even having no spring ball, I mean, you need that time. Instead, you're having to sit in with the coaches and having this explanation that you've heard, I'm sure these players have heard 50 million times. The the dangers of, they're not, and obviously, from what I'm taking it, they ain't taking this stuff seriously. I mean, this is, that is plain and simple right there. So you're losing valuable practice time, having to sit in on coaches meet, on a team meeting for something that you should obviously take seriously. We should also be taking seriously by now. If you have not, then you need to check yourself. But yeah, K-State, I mean.
Well, and I wanted to, you know, just quickly too, Eddie, I another thing that I referenced in the last podcast was how I was a little thrown off by the demeanor, or not the demeanor, but the remarks that were made by Coach Kleiman after the game. Not that he made any remarks that were off or wrong. He didn't say anything was off or wrong, but I personally felt like he would take a little bit more responsibility in regards to, you know, not saying, well, we were missing this guy, well, we were missing that guy. Well, I mean, you know, this happened because of that. I thought he'd more, I didn't own it a little more, and he didn't quite own it as much as I thought that he would.
Right, yeah.
His tone changed this week, in my opinion, listening to him talk. I heard more of, there's no excuse for this. You know, we've got to be better. We got to get our heads on straight. You know, we got to get focused. And then obviously he was not happy with in his very last press conference talking about, his first and last. His first saying we didn't practice today because we had to have the uncomfortable conversation. Or the conversation that had to be had, or whatever he said. And then the last one where he said we didn't have a good week with the COVID testing, and he didn't seem very pleased about that either. So his tone, in my opinion, has somewhat changed. But the good news is, for me, is I trust Coach Kleiman to be able to handle this, because he's a no-nonsense guy. I get that. I mean, he's a player's coach, don't get me wrong, but he's also...
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be your back. Look, he's going to hold you accountable. You better believe that. I think that became pretty clear in the first season, that he's there to make you the best football player, the best person that you can be, but he's also going to hold you accountable to get you to that point. So I have confidence in him and the coaching staff to be able to handle all of this stuff that's going on the right way, if indeed, you know these reports are true. But the biggest thing is, once again, if these reports are indeed true, K-State just needs to look in the mirror. They just need to look in the mirror and decide whether they want to play football this year. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to, Eddie. You know, if they're out doing this, we can get into the argument of, well, should you be on Aggieville or not after a loss. I'm with you, Eddie. If I was a player, I wouldn't want to show my face after losing Arkansas State.
No. Even if, hell no. No.
Even if COVID wasn't around, I would be and I would be, you know, it's just not what I'd be doing. But that's beside the point. And you know what? K-State players do that. I remember when I was in college, I saw that my senior year when K-State was supposed to be really good in basketball, and Marcus Foster and that whole crew just stunk it up.
Marcus Foster,
the whole crew in Aggieville every Saturday night after they stunk it up. So whatever, players are going to do that. But the big thing is, with COVID, like I said, if they're out and they're breaking rules and stuff like that, it really just comes down to them and you know, do you want to play or not? Because, you know, you're not going to play football this year if this happens. Because, you know, this is how the conference shuts down. You know, this is how things shut down. This is how football gets stopped in the fall. And your seasons get cut short. And then you're frustrated and about what happened. And you have no one to blame but yourself. So, you know, hopefully they have, you know, like I said, if this did indeed happen, hopefully they had the conversations that needed to be had. Something clearly happened. We know that because they didn't have a practice. And so whatever happened, hopefully they had the conversations they needed to have. Hopefully everyone's heads are screwed on straight. And hopefully they're looking forward, because if they're not, they are going to get a wake-up call on Saturday. So, you know, on national TV. So they've got another week or so to kind of figure out what they want to do, Eddie. You know, do they want to take this stuff seriously? Do they want to be serious about playing a football season and getting this thing back on the tracks? Or do they want to, you know, just continue to go about whatever they've been doing? And, you know, but knowing Coach Klieman, you know, I don't think that's something he's going to put up with.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Come on, K-State alums / Wildcat 91.9 alums. Eddie Greer, Alex Saban, Purple Project Podcast. Rolling along. On recording on this Sunday. And looking for a date here. But anyway, recording on a Sunday. I believe it's the 20th. My date's been wrong. I'm a little tired. Oh, go ahead.
It is the 20th. You were correct.
All right. So, yes, recording is on the 20th. And this will be out on Wednesday midweek. So, yeah. So, there's that. But going back to that point there, my original lost point there. But, yeah, K-State. Oh, yeah. The other thing that's been thrown around, obviously, that I've been hearing, at least lately anyways, that put an asterisk on a season. Like, people don't care about it because of COVID and everything else like that. In my opinion, don't like it, for one, because that means we don't give a, you know what, about the season. And second of all, I mean, if you don't want to play, so you should have just mailed it in before the season even started. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk going on about, you know, let's just throw the season away. You know, we got all these new eligibility rules that, oh, we can come back. And I expressed on this podcast, I don't like the new rule. I think it's stupid, to be totally honest. But I mean, from the other side, I understand it from the other side of the corner of it, but I just don't like it. So, I mean, yeah, K-State, yeah, they need to check themselves. And yeah, as of now, as we record this podcast, obviously, Gus Johnson, Joe Klatt will be on the call. This is the big game, big Saturday game, early game, the 11 o'clock special, OU special. And yeah, so we'll talk about the game a little bit there. Here as we go along the podcast, but yeah, find that very interesting there. That does sync up a little bit there. So hopefully, this loss to Arkansas State is somewhat of a wake up call for this team. I mean, we're Kansas State, right? We should not be losing to a Sun Belt conference, even though yeah, they are a good team. But still, I mean, we mentioned this episodes ago on a podcast, you know, win the games that you're supposed to win, and once again, K-State did not do that. So, yeah, we'll have to see. It can't, after a bye week, can this team respond? And Norman in a tough environment. Now, yes, it's not going to be sold out in Norman, but still, they have more fans than K-State did last week. So I mean, we'll see what happens on Saturday at 11 Central Time in Norman with those guys there. So, with all the injuries and another thing, Alex, from my friend that's on the team, I'm not going to name him. I'm going to keep him nameless.
But I don't blame you. I will name him nameless.
So, he said that there's a possibility that they're going to have more key guys out because of COVID and whatnot. So that's not good either from that standpoint. If that's true.
Yeah, it is true. Well, you know, Eddie, I mean, it lines up. If you think about it, you know, Coach Klieman came out and he said, we didn't have a good week with COVID. It was a bad week for COVID. So if you're going to connect dots, that obviously means more guys got COVID. And we already know that a handful missed the Arkansas State game because of COVID. So, you know, I think just by default we would know that there's a risk of some other guys missing it. I know that Chris Klieman said early in the week, you know, we're optimistic that we can get some guys back. Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be 5? Is it going to be 10? I don't know. But, you know, we're hopeful of that. And then at the end of the week he said, well, we didn't have a good week. So that wasn't encouraging. So I think everybody already kind of knows that K-State clearly could be without some guys. And Oklahoma's not seen to be without guys too. Once again, I kind of just loop back to the fact that I think this will be a problem throughout the season. Interestingly enough, I heard Coach O of LSU, Ed Orgeron, he mentioned, he said almost our entire team's gotten COVID by now. He said, so I really don't think any more guys can get it, because almost everyone's already gotten it. And I was like, well, you know, so clearly it's going, clearly it's running the course, and I'm not even going to get into the argument, get into the discussion of what that means from a health perspective, but from a football perspective, it's obviously concerning, especially for K-State when you're going up against a team like Oklahoma, where after what happened with Arkansas State, the Vegas, I shouldn't call it the Vegas, but Vegas was not impressed, as Oklahoma is 28-point favorites going into the game. And quite frankly, if K-State would have found a way to win that game, I wouldn't have been surprised if that was cut in half, that line.
Yeah.
But they were, honestly, if K-State would have won, I think they probably would have been ranked with how many teams lost. I really think they would have found a way to see it. Even if they barely beat Arkansas State, I think we would have seen them squeak in the top 25 just because that's how many top 25 teams went down. But anyway, the point is, K-State's already got, is up against it going into Norman. And missing more key guys is just going to make it that much more difficult. Because the fact of the matter is, Eddie, I think K-State has a chance to compete. I'm not saying win. They have a chance to compete with Oklahoma. but to compete with them, they need to be healthy. They need to have guys. If they don't have guys, they don't have depth, they don't have those things, Oklahoma's just going to run them. They're just going to run them down. I mean, it's just what's going to happen, and it's really important for K-State to try to get healthy and try to give Oklahoma a game, because through all this, we didn't even mention it, Eddie, but Oklahoma got bumped up to number 3.
It did.
In the country. So if you go on the road and you win that game, you're early enough in the season where that can right the ship really, really quickly. So I mean, K-State still has a really big opportunity where they could, to be 100% honest, Eddie, probably vault themselves back into the top 25 with the way things are looking, even after the loss to Arkansas State, if they could get that win over Oklahoma. But when you're missing guys, it's just going to be with them. Because Oklahoma, we've had this conversation before, and I've had this conversation with some other K-State fans, and not everybody agrees with me, but I think this Oklahoma team's legit. I think this is an Oklahoma team that is as good as teams that we've seen in the past. I don't know if everybody agrees that, but I think Spence Rattler is for real. I understand that they don't have a Hollywood Brown. They don't have a CeeDee Lamb. I think they're a bunch of the running backs opted out. I get that. Some people aren't impressed with their defense. Cool. But the thing is, you just match up Oklahoma talent versus K-State talent. Oklahoma's obviously got more talent. Then you take the depth away from K-State. You know, you're missing key guys, and you don't have the depth against Oklahoma and that talent, and that presents a whole other problem for K-State. So, fingers crossed that they can get healthy. They can get some depth. Because Eddie, if they're missing more key guys against Oklahoma, think about that K-State offense that was struggling to get going against an average Arkansas State defense. Think of that offense. Think of that offensive line that we saw against Arkansas State, who couldn't even account for. You know, there were some guys that just weren't even blocked that were just running right at Skyler. And imagine them in Norman. It's not a pretty sight, pretty thought. So hopefully they can get healthier. I'm sure that there will be guys out that played in the game against Arkansas State. But hopefully they can at least get some guys back that can help balance it out. Give K-State at least a fighting chance to compete.
Yeah, you cannot allow a team to get, where's that stat at? Okay, yeah, you cannot allow to be a team to get 50, over 50% in third downs. You can't allow, K-State's got a tough task ahead of them. Yeah. You can't get Oklahoma over 400 yards total offense. You can't allow them to do that. So yeah, K-State, if they're going to, I'm not even going to say when, I'm going to say, if K-State even come close to competing, they're going to have to tighten the screws a little bit on the defense side. And let's just get into a little bit, actually, now. That's a good transition. OU's offense against K-State's defense. We know the struggle. We know what happened with K-State's defense going a week ago against Arkansas State there. McPherson reports, or what I've heard anyways, should be okay. He should be okay for the OU game. That's from what I've read from this week as well. So Lance Robinson, AJ Parker got destroyed against Arkansas State. they're gonna have to play better. This secondary, really, Spencer Rattler versus the secondary at K-State.
Oh, yeah.
And the third string safety, Ryan Hennington. Oh, man. But hopefully McPherson, hopefully McPherson will be back this week. Hopefully. But if they put him back there, we're screwed. We're already screwed as it is. But, yeah, Spencer Rattler gets Mississippi State, threw over 200, almost threw over just shy of 300 yards passing, 14 of 17. Four touchdown passes. One of those was to Seth McGowan, who had 9 catches for 61 yards in their victory over, Mississippi State, 48-0 in their opener there. Oklahoma, as Alex mentioned, ranked third in the country. So, yeah, that's kind of the matchup right there. The quarterback versus the secondary, and how does Joel Klaiman try to figure out how to slow down, not stop, slow down Spencer Rattler, the freshman?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Like I, you know, Eddie, the game's supposed to be on at, you know, 9 a.m. here, because I'm on the Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
Boy, K-State, those K-State, do I even want to get up and watch Spence Rattler up against a third-string K-State safeties? That could get ugly. You know what K-State needs to do, Eddie? And yes, I will get up, by the way. Anyone who's like, is he really not going to get it? Yes, I'll get up. Trust me. I'll be up. I'll watch the game.
Anyway, I know.
I will be up. I promise. Even if they lose by 28, I will be up. I'll be watching the game. So what K-State needs to do, Eddie, is they really need to, I think, get back to their bread and butter. And what they did last year that they were successful in defensively. I felt like last week, we mentioned it, it kind of felt like Asante Hayes' defense. I didn't feel like they were aggressive defensively. Maybe they were trying to be aggressive and they weren't successful in those efforts. But I really felt like K-State, instead of being the aggressor on defense, I felt like they were kind of back on their heels. And you really can't play like that against Oklahoma. So, if I'm K-State, I'm getting back to what got me ranked as the second best, you know, big goal defense last year. K-State did that with a lot of pressure. It started with pressure. The defensive line was aggressive at times against Arkansas State, but they didn't put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and I think that they have got to find a way to make Spencer Rattler uncomfortable, because what that's going to do is the best shield for a shaky secondary is a good pass rush and pressure on the quarterback. That is how you do it. I know people get annoyed hearing this all the time, but it's what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs secondary, and their corners are not, it's the weakness on their team, but what they do and what they've done the past few years is they bank on the what they have up front and getting pressure on the quarterback and making the quarterback uncomfortable. And it really, you know, protects that back end. When they're not getting pressure on the quarterback, a lot of times that secondary is exposed. I think same thing applies to K-State here. It starts with them up front. And you know, some people want to be like, well, that doesn't mean anything for the safeties. That doesn't mean anything for the corners. But no, yes, it does. It really does. Because if K-State can get pressure on him, they can get him off his spots. his throws could be a tick off, you know, and that, you know, just having to throw a tick off here, a tick off there, they don't need to get 4, 5, 6 sacks. They just need to get him off his spot. They need to make him a little uncomfortable. They need to make him, you know, make some plays that are, make life not so easy for him. And so that's where I think it starts. And the reason I think it starts there is because I think that K-State has a better chance to succeed there than they do on the back end. So if you can take this off of them, especially if you're going to have backups in your secondary, if you can take the pressure off them as much as possible and play to your strength of a Wyatt Hubert and a Massey and, you know, if Duke is back, if you can, you know, use these guys and maybe some of these linebackers, you know, dial up some linebacker blitzes. We saw some of that last year that was successful. Maybe there's a linebacker that doesn't get accounted for that gets a free shot at the QB. You know, get exotic with some of your blitzes, you know. Send a couple of extra guys. Maybe, you know what, Eddie? Bring a safety up. Maybe a safety blitz. Try to surprise him. But throw some things at them that are going to, number one, confuse them a little bit because they're not expecting it. And number two, I just think you got to gamble, Eddie. I don't think you can sit back and let them just pick you apart and you know, because that's what's going to happen. If you just sit back and you play in your heels, they're just going to pick you apart. You have got to be aggressive. And you know what? If you get burned that way, fine. You know what? Fine. But you know you're going to get burned if you sit back and don't do anything. I mean, you know that's going to happen. So you may as well play to your strength, which is being aggressive, and your defensive line, and your linebacking core, and dial up some exotic blitzes, try to get pressure on the quarterback. And you got it. One thing that they didn't do great against Arkansas State, and they need to do a better job of, they need to slow down the run. Because if they can also slow down the run and make Oklahoma just a little more one-dimensional, once again, people are like, that doesn't make a lot of sense because then you're forcing them to throw. But once again, that it makes it easier for K-State to dial up blitzes if they can slow down that run and get into passing downs. So, you know, I think it starts with being more aggressive, more blitzing, and really just trying to protect that secondary as much as possible.
Yeah, and also, you can mention it, starts up front with Wyatt Hubert and those guys, Bronson Massey, Eli Huggins, Drew Riley. Hopefully we'll start seeing, Duke, yeah, the freshman who was so hyped up coming into the season there. I can't call his name right now. I am all over the place. But, yeah, it all starts up front with those guys. Obviously, was pointed out. I went back to watch some of the game. And found it interesting that Wyatt Hugh was standing up. And I'm on, like, majority of the plays. And I found that very interesting there. And why he was standing up, I don't know. Was Coach was telling him to stand up? Excuse me. Was telling him to stand up or what? But it all starts up front with those guys. And then on the other side, offensive line. Woo! You mentioned it on the end of the podcast. Last week, the offensive line played bad. Yeah. They had a rough time against Arkansas State. And you're going up against bigger guys up front against OU, and we'll switch sides with the K-State offense and the OU defense, obviously. Yeah, the offensive line had a bad bad day at the office. And yes, there were some highlights in there. We mentioned it last week. Obviously, Brody Moore and Deuce Vaughn had themselves a game there. But the offensive line, like you mentioned, you mentioned at the end of the podcast, they have to somewhat step up, and it goes back to what I said earlier in this podcast about having that practice time. You can't miss practice time. you can't be sitting in meetings when you need that quality time. And the offensive line, they need that time. Even the defensive line also. So you need that critical practice time to get out there and to learn the schemes and learn your assignments of what you need to do. And obviously, they just got blown apart by the defensive front of Arkansas State there. Not much running room. Yes, Harry Trotter got a touchdown, but that was late in the game there to tie the game, if I remember correctly. Late in that ball game there. And then K-State went up front, went on top, and then we know what happened after that. We all start up front, giving those guys room. Now, hopefully, if this game gets played on Saturday, we see a little bit more of Tyler Burns. Now, I mean, obviously, Coach Klieman said it. Even Courtney Messingham, the offense coordinator, they've said, well, they're going to get bulk of the carries, Trotter and Burns. Well, we didn't see much of Burns in Arkansas State. So, I mean, yeah, we saw a lot of Deuce Vaughn, which was awesome. Loved it. But, yeah, hopefully we get a mixed balance. Because, obviously, in my opinion, Harry Trotter's not that guy to be getting the boatload of carries. I wanted to see Jarquia Wright on the field. But, obviously, we don't know the whole situation there. Well, I mean, he suited up. He was in front of us. Short pads and everything. Helmet and everything. But he was not on the playing field. So, I don't know what the situation is there. But, yeah, Harry Trotter is not that primary back. It's got to be somebody else to carry that load. The sit-up.
Yeah.
Because you have him back there. No offense against Harry Trotter now. He's kind of that supplementary back. He's not that guy. He's not the primary back. And there are multiple times that he didn't get no gain because of that offensive line. So, he was really struggling to, I don't know, gain yards from time to time there. So he is not that guy. But unfortunately, you know, coaches want to stick with him, but he's not that guy in my opinion. So
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you talked about it already. We talked about it on numerous fronts now. I hate to continue to be the dead horse on Triple P. But COVID and everything else, you hope that somebody steps up and provides a spark. And we love what we saw Deuce Vaughn. Yeah, he's undersized. We all know that. And he wants to put on some more weight, more muscle. That's what he said. So, I mean, somebody else is going to have to step up, make plays to open up the passing game a little more. Obviously, Bradley Moore, Sebastian Taylor, almost over 100 yards against the game against Arkansas State. But somebody's in that backfield. You talk about bread and butter on the defense side of the ball, going back to seeing dialed-up blitzes. Well, you got to see more of the same on the offensive side of the ball. Last year, we saw running back by committee, which featured Harry Trotter, but he was the third back with James Gilbert, the primary back, who was really good last year. He and Jordan Brown, a great 1-2 punch. And in my opinion, we don't have that yet. So, yeah. Yeah, you got to find that running back by committee. I think you have to use Tyler Burns a little more. If Jarquia Wright is to play, I don't know. But you have to go back to the run game. And that's the best way to keep the Oklahoma offense on the sidelines. And we saw that in last year's game at home. They carved Skylar Thompson on the ground, carved him up a little bit. So, it all starts up front with the offensive line. They got to create more holes for those guys.
Yeah, definitely. First note is I believe you meant Missouri State instead of Mississippi State.
Oh, my bad.
No, you're fine. I was going to say, boy, if they beat Mississippi State 48-0, I'd be really nervous going into Saturday.
My bad.
But no, I think that you bring up a really good point. Trotter first with Jarquia Wright. I can answer that question kind of because I did hear them on the broadcast mention that, or maybe I heard it somewhere else actually. I don't think I did hear it on the broadcast. I don't know where I heard it. I heard it somewhere. But anyway, apparently Jarquia Wright was banged up. He was pretty banged up, I guess, in practice. I don't know if it was that week prior or something like that. But it did sound like it was an injury. It was injury related to him being out. So I think ideally if you're K-State, you would cross your fingers and hope that he can play. Because to be 100% honest, I'm not confident in Harry Trotter or Tyler Burns really carrying the load as the guy against Oklahoma. And that's not a shot at either one of them. I'm with you. If that's how it sets up and that's what they have to do, they need to split them out more. Or they need to give Tyler Burns more carries because
Tyler Burns to get more carries. That's just
because I don't have confidence in Harry Trotter being the lead back against Oklahoma. And that's no offense against Harry Trotter, but I mean there was a moment against Arkansas State where I was beginning to wonder: is Harry Trotter going to have more carries than he does yards? I mean, Kellis Robinette tweeted it. I got it from him. Don't throw the shade at me. Throw the shade at Kellis Robinette. No, he obviously had more yards than he carries. But no, I mean, legit, he had, there was a point where they were about even, the carries and the yards. And it was like, ooh, this is not pretty. And then he broke a couple off in the second half that helped on that. But point being, I think your best case scenario for K-State is you need your KD, right? Because I don't have confidence personally in either one of those guys to get the run game going against Oklahoma. Now, I do have confidence that Deuce Vaughn can do some things, and I believe that K-State's going to use him. I believe they need to use him. But the big thing with Deuce Vaughn is because of his size, or lack thereof, you can't overuse him, especially against a team like Oklahoma. I shouldn't say especially against a team like Oklahoma, because it's not their defense has done anything that's just maybe just knocked my socks off. But it's the point being is you're going up against bigger, stronger players now. He can't get hit 15, 20 times, in my opinion, the game. That's going to take a toll. Maybe he can take 15 hits against Oklahoma and 10 hits in the next game, but you can't have him getting hit 15, 20 times a game. He's not built like that. I would prefer to see him play an entire season than him play 3 games and then get hurt because he's got a bunch of hits and then we don't get to see him the rest of the year. That would obviously be worse for the team. So ideally, if he could touch the ball 10 to 12 times, that would be the sweet spot, in my opinion. So he can't, he'll be part of it, but he can't be the lead guy there. They need to get somebody else who can really do that running in between the tackles. And Jerkady Wright is built to be that guy, and hopefully he can be healthy. If he's not healthy, then they got to find a way to make it work with Tyler Burns and Harry Trotter. But for me, it goes back to a couple things when you look at K-State offensively. The first is the coaching staff, and Coach Klein in particular, talked after last week's game about, he didn't say frustrated, but you can tell that it kind of bugged him. They had a lot of stuff dialed up, according to him, for Skyler offensively, but then they couldn't do it because he got banged up in the game. And we had a whole discussion last week about, well, if Skyler got banged up, should he really be in there? If he's really taking out that much of what you wanted to do offensively. But they clearly felt like he should have been, and judging that decision at all. My coaches know better than me what to do there. But hopefully Skyler's healthier and they can dial some of that stuff up. I think that's where it starts. You we're like, oh, we were really excited about all this stuff we had that we couldn't run. Well, hopefully Skyler's healthy enough when you can run it. And you can pull out all the tricks against Oklahoma because you're going to need them. You're going to need all the tricks against a team like Oklahoma. So hopefully they can pull them out. That's the first thing. The second thing is the offensive line. The offensive line was not good. Not good against Arkansas State. We've talked about that numerous times. But I don't think it was unexpected. I think we knew this offensive line with the offseason that they had, all new starters, that this was going to be a transition. Skyler Thompson lost his starting center in the game. That's obviously going to create some issues. So clearly not an ideal situation for them. But the offensive line has got to protect, because if they can't protect Skyler, if they can't open up holes for running backs, all the conversations about what they should do offensively are moot, because if Skyler doesn't have time to throw the ball, if the running backs don't have holes to run through, they're not going to move the football. I mean, it's just that simple. So they need that from their offensive line. It doesn't matter what the coaches dialed up, what the coaches have for Skyler, if the offensive line can't get him time, it's not going to matter, because he won't really ball in his hands because he'll have no time. So hopefully they can do a better job up front. And I know it can sound kind of cliche, and you hear it all the time, but man, winning the battle up front is so important. And I'm not even saying, Eddie, that K-State needs to win the battle up front. I know this is a new offensive line, but I would just like to see them give Skyler enough time to make some plays. Give him enough time to be able to make some plays. Give the running backs a chance. give them a little bit of a hole and give them a chance to break through. I'm not asking you, do, you know, block like the 2015 Dallas Cowboys offensive line that had like four or five Pro Bowlers on. I'm not asking for that, okay? I don't know if it's 2015. Point being, I'm not asking them to do that. All I'm asking is, let's see some improvement over what you did last week. You know, give them more of a chance than you did last week. Because let's be honest, a lot of that wasn't on Harry Trotter. You know, he didn't have any. It's hard to run if you don't have a hole. You know, and there were a lot of times Harry Trotter got the ball and there was nowhere to go. It's going to be hard to run the football like that. And there were a lot of times that Skyler dropped back to pass, had a defender in his face. I counted more times than I was comfortable with. You never want your quarterback taking a direct hit, but there were way too many times where there was a runner that wasn't even, somebody who was blitzing that wasn't even touched, wasn't even picked up by an offensive lineman, and they were just running unblocked at Skyler. And that definitely is not going to work against OU because you're not get Skyler taking hits from those defensive linemen and those linebackers. So, you know, you just hope that that offensive line can get a bit of a rhythm. It gives Skyler enough time to make plays. For K-State offensively, it's going to start with trying to run the ball, as you mentioned, trying to hold it, trying to win the time of possession. And then in the passing game, it's the same thing I said against Arkansas State. High percentage things. Get the ball out of Skyler's hands quickly. Be able to some throws that are easy to complete. Maybe some RPOs where if Skyler's healthy enough, you give him a chance to run if there's some open space. You know, give him some plays where he has multiple options in case something breaks down. So, I just think that the K-State needs to do a better job putting the offense in a position to succeed, and it starts with blocking, and it continues with play calling. I don't think that the offensive line did a very good job. I don't think that the play calling was very good. I think that K-State needs to do a better job in both of those areas and try to run the ball, keep it away from them, don't turn the ball over. That is very important against Oklahoma. And get the ball out of Skyler's hands quickly, because when you've got that young offensive line, a great way to get them feeling good is if your quarterback's not getting hit. And if that means getting the ball out of Skyler's hands quickly, if that means running away from the offensive line like K-State did for parts of the game, honestly when they were most effective in the run game, then do those things. Do those things, let the offensive line get in the rhythm, and then when they get clicking, that offensive line seems to be getting a little momentum, then maybe you can dial some things up where you take a little more risk and you put a little more weight on the offensive line.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yeah, going back to last year's ball game here in Manhattan, Eddie Greer, Alexander, Purple Project Podcast. K-State knocked out Oklahoma, upsetting them here in Bill Snyder Family Stadium last year. Oklahoma was ranked number 5 at that time with that 48-41 holding on upset victory. And at one point, K-State had a 48-23 lead before OU made a head of steam for a comeback attempt there, which was thwarted there by an onside kick there late in that ball game, which
that was a controversial onside kick.
Definitely controversial onside kick there. And Skyler Thompson, last year's game, 213 yards passing, and he ran for 4 touchdowns in the ball game. Skyler Thompson getting banged up against Arkansas State a week ago. We'll see if he's healthy enough to run. He didn't really run that much in the game, and we saw Will Howard for a possession for a couple plays before Skyler returned to the game. And going back to the OU game of last year, all 6 touchdowns were scored via running the football. So that's a stat right there. And that included Joshua Youngblood, who did not see any Arkansas State game due to possible COVID. Again, I don't know for a fact, but we saw him on the sideline with the black shirt and some shorts. Yeah, so
I mean, I don't know what his situation is now, but yeah, that's a key piece there that you're missing offensively there. So that's kind of a stat I just wanted to throw out there as well. So again, I mean, yeah, Skylar needs to make some plays through the air, and we got weapons on the outside now. I haven't been paying much attention to what Malik Knowles' status is. He left the game late in the fourth quarter on that. I'll be paying more closely attention whether we play this game on time or not. So Sebastian Taylor, hopefully he can build on this, on his performance there. And he could have had more yards. He could have had another touchdown to that there. So there could have been a lot of things done there. We already touched on that. Bradley Moore, there's weapons there. Now hopefully they can stay away and learn their lesson a little bit from this week there. So again, I mean, we'll see the status here as the week goes on. So yeah, COVID can change things in a blink of an eye. So we'll see what happens there. We'll have predictions on this game here in a few moments here. I want to touch quickly on this week's games in the football round for the Big 12. And before we move on real quickly, I want to throw in quickly the Big 10 decided, hey, we want to play some football. So they will be playing some football beginning late in October 23rd. They're going to be playing an 8 scheduled game there. The Big 10 back in the ball game. Well, the Pac-10, not the Pac-10, man, my numbers. The Pac-12 sitting out. So the Big 10 decided they want to play. So finally, it worked. So Big 10, they're back in the ball game. They'll be playing an all-conference 8-game schedule beginning October 23rd. Now, obviously, we talked about K-State, Oklahoma. We'll have predictions in a few moments here. So here are already supposable schedule games. So Iowa State, they were victim of the Sun Belt bug. They go on the road to play TCU. TCU's first game after TCU's game was postponed. Then the afternoon games at 2:30 Central Time include number 8 Texas versus Texas Tech. That's part of that doubleheader on Fox after the K-State OU game. Now, pending, let's throw that in there because this episode will go out on Wednesday night and things can change from now to then and even afterwards. So, the other afternoon game featuring West Virginia and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State come off that scare we talked about in the first half of this podcast tonight against Tulsa. They're going to need to look a little bit better if they're going to escape West Virginia. But they're playing at home, but they're going to have to pay a lot better than what they did against Tulsa. Sorry, Tulsa, at that. Then the nightcap, OKU, goes to Baylor. And Baylor, like I mentioned, Alex has not played a football game due to postponements, unfortunately for them. So we'll see if Baylor can pass a test and get on the football field. But that's the slate that we're looking at, Alex, for this week, at least for the time being of this podcast.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't hear right. Things can change day by day. But first, I'm just going to quickly jump at, yeah, the Big Ten, welcome aboard for to the football trade now and your A-game schedule. And the Pac-12, I heard their commissioner interviewed late last week, I believe it was. He said, Larry Drew, and he said that the Pac-12 was considering possibly beginning a football season at the end of October, beginning in November. And they said, yeah, hopefully it gives us enough of a chance to be in the college football playoff. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know how you, what, would you play, I don't know, would they be able to get 8 games in? I mean, maybe they would, but I don't know how they get 8 games in. I mean, I don't know how someone would go into the college football playoff playing 17. That, Eddie, is going to be a whole other thing to watch, is how this affects the college football playoff.
If you've got
a team like Oklahoma, hypothetically, just use them since we're playing them, and they made the college football playoff the last couple of years. Hypothetically, what if you're playing a 9-1 Oklahoma? You know, their one loss is to, Texas in the Cotton Bowl. Texas is ranked in the top 10 right now. So, hypothetically, they lose to a top 10 Texas team. That's their one loss. And then you've got a 6-0 Oregon. I'll use them as an example. In the Pac-12, where you've got an 8-0 Penn State. You know, what do you do with those types of scenarios? These teams who have not played as many football games, that in and of itself, Eddie, is going to be something that's going to be very interesting to watch. To watch for is how the college football playoff committee, if we can get that far, how they judge all of these teams and these conferences starting at different times. And obviously, the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC all kind of joined together, but with the Pac 12 and the Big 10 jumping on. Getting back to the Big 12, though, the slate is going to be an interesting one. Obviously, it kicks off with K-State. We talked plenty about that. Iowa State at TCU is going to be interesting to see how Iowa State does, if they're able to bounce back from you thought K-State had a bad losing to Arkansas State by 4. Try losing to a Sun Belt team by 17. I believe it was 31-14. Granted, just to put things in perspective, that win for Louisiana over Iowa State
put them in the top 25.
Put them in the top 25. Exactly. Yep.
And they're running away with it. They won again yesterday.
They did. They won against Georgia State.
Georgia State. Yeah.
Yeah. So they actually came back. I think they were down like 3 scores and came back in that game too. But anyway, that stinks for Iowa State. So we'll see how they bounce back against TCU, who already had a postponement in their schedule. And then you look at Texas and Texas Tech. Texas looked great their first game. Texas Tech did not. Texas Tech almost lost to Houston Baptist. All I know is Houston Baptist almost won that game. And Texas Tech was favored by like 4 scores or something, or 5 scores. I don't remember what they were favored by, but it was a ton, and they almost lost that game. So they're clearly going to need to be better against Texas, who looked dominant against UTEP in their first game. Looping down, West Virginia. It almost got ranked because of their win last week against, I don't even remember who it was against, but they almost got ranked from it. We talked about Oklahoma State. That was the one that's obviously fresh in our minds because of that Tulsa game. And you're right, Eddie. Oklahoma State's obviously better than West Virginia. I think all of us know that. I think the West Virginia coaches probably know that. But, if Oklahoma State comes out and they play the way they did against Tulsa, I don't think that they escape that game with a win. So they need to fix whatever problems that they had against Tulsa. They need to get those fixed, or they may not be as lucky. And then looping down to KU and Baylor, you know what? KU has an advantage because KU has played and Baylor hasn't. Baylor had a game, and Baylor tried to play again and was postponed again. So who the heck knows, because Baylor clearly has some COVID problems going on right now, so who knows what team Baylor would even field out against KU. So as a K-State fan, that makes me a little worried with that game, because I just don't know who's healthy for Baylor, but still, you would assume that would be a difficult one for KU, so it'll be an interesting slate of games. But yeah. I'll tell you this, Eddie, I'm excited for Big 12 football to be here, where we are Big 12 against Big 12, let those games begin.
Yep, and hopefully we all can get on the field on Saturday. So we'll monitor that situation throughout the week of the recording as we record this podcast on a Sunday night. Now, kind of switching gears before we get predictions here and close the podcast, on to the soccer field on Friday night, K-State falling to 0-2 in the year. As they lost, speaking of West Virginia, they lost to the West Virginia Lady, the women's soccer, losing to the Lady Mountaineers on the soccer field the other night. And a loss there for them. So K-State started off the year on the soccer field 0-2 once again. Shots, for the whole game, the Mountaineers, woo! Doubled up, or actually more than doubled, Wildcat shots with 17-4. Ouch. Saves, Wildcats had 8, obviously. With the shots on goal, you're going to get more saves, obviously. Mountaineers only had 1 due to the 4 shots on goal for K-State. They are in fouls. Mountaineers had 10. Wildcats had 6 in that game right there, the Mountaineers. Wildcats actually score first in the ball game. There for a goal, they led 1-0, and then the Mountaineers, it was all West Virginia after that. So the K-State women's soccer team fall into West Virginia 4-1, and they fall 0-2 on the season. So K-State soccer, yes, is still new to the athletic scene, but still kind of struggling in that department there. Other results there, I mentioned the cross country at the top of the podcast. Well, they finished second in the Bob Timmons Classic, which I talked about on one of the episodes of the Purple Project Podcast last week. If you missed out on that or any of the episodes of Triple P, download it, check it out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Rio.com, SoundCloud. So kudos to the men's and women's soccer, men's and women's cross country team on that front right there. And then the rest of the week, on Friday, the volleyball team hopefully is supposed to take on Iowa State. That's at home. Yes, it is. That's at home there on Friday night. And then on the same time, soccer goes to, they're at home as well. TCU, soccer team right back on the soccer field, hopefully, on Friday, this Friday. And then, of course, our game, the football game at OU, 11 a.m., which we said quite a bit already on Fox. And then Saturday night, the volleyball team back in action again against Iowa State at home. So that's the slate for K-State, what he's looking at right now. So leave it there because West Virginia volleyball, that's the week after that. So we're going to hold that right there. So that's kind of the week, folks, in K-State Athletics there. Volleyball team looks to start their season this week against Iowa State. Back to football now. Time for some predictions here to close out the podcast here. And actually, I'm going to start with you, Mr. Alex. Okay, so we talked about some of the keys, some of what K-State needs to do, or in hopes to even compete, even come close to beating this Oklahoma team. But Alex, what is your prediction heading into this ball game?
Oh man, you know, hey, this is tough. Because it's so hard, and I think it's going to be hard all year long to make predictions just because you don't know. I can't ever remember a time where you just don't have a damn clue. Who's taking the field? And that is coming from somebody who's watched the Bill Snyder team for 20 years. And Bill Snyder didn't release like any injury info, and I still felt like I had somewhat of an idea of who was going to go out there. Right now, I feel like I have absolutely no clue because COVID is sidelining so many guys. So it's just hard to make a prediction because if K-State is healthy, if they are healthy, I really do think that they have a chance to compete because I don't believe that Arkansas State game was a representation of what this team is and what this team can be. I believe this team is better and can be better and will be better if they are at full health. With that said, I don't think they are going to be healthy against Oklahoma. And for that reason, it's hard for me to see K-State competing I just don't think they'll be healthy. I mean, do you think that they'll be healthy?
No.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be healthy. No, so we share that sentiment. So I just don't think they'll be healthy. So I don't think they'll be
healthy. And also, and throw in the lack of practice time.
Yeah, exactly. No. Practice, and so fortunately I have 2 weeks, and you know, that'll help to a degree, but Still, that's a concern. So I'm going to say Oklahoma wins this game. I have K-State covering the spread, the 28-point spread, if that makes people feel any better. I'm going to go ahead and have Oklahoma winning this game 41-24. I'm trying to think of the right way to word this. I think that K-State can, like I said, I think that K-State can compete against Oklahoma. I even think that K-State, despite some of the issues that they had last week offensively, I think that they can move the ball against Oklahoma. I think that they can get some scores. I think what it's going to come down to, Eddie, is I don't have confidence in that defense getting stops against that Oklahoma offense. And I understand that, like I said, Oklahoma's down some running backs. Oh, they don't have CeeDee Lamb. Oh, they don't have a Hollywood Brown. It doesn't look like they have those types of guys. But and I've heard people say, like I said, their defense doesn't, it looked okay, but it doesn't look great. All I know is their defense hasn't given up a point all year. They threw a shutout. Yes, it was Missouri State. Obviously, I'm 100% aware of that. But still, it is hard for me to. I believe they can move the ball, but I don't think that they're going to put up more than mid-20s against Oklahoma, and obviously I don't think that's going to be enough to do it, especially with K-State defense. I don't know if K-State will try to be more aggressive on defense or not, but I think Spencer Rattler is going to exploit that secondary. I explained the way that I believe K-State needs to approach it, which is trying to get exotic in some of the blitzes and some of the things that they do defensively, and be more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not holding my breath that will happen, though. So I believe that Oklahoma will score over 40. I got them at 41. Honestly, I think Oklahoma may be able to score more than that, but I do think the K-State will be able to. I think K-State, obviously, they have enough talent on defense to be able to get some stops here and there. But all in all, I just think Oklahoma's going to have way too much firepower for K-State. And I think that the biggest thing is that K-State's just going to be gassed. I think they'll be gassed in the second half because they're going to be missing so many guys. And I don't know what the situation is with Oklahoma and COVID, but I just don't think K-State's going to have the depth. And I think that they're just going to be sucking air there in the second half. And I think the K-State maybe keeps it close in the first half, or keeps it close-ish. I don't see Oklahoma blowing them out. I think K-State's too good. But Oklahoma kind of gets a lead, and they kind of separate, and they kind of just keep separating a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and they just turns into a 17-point win. So that's what I got.
And I want to, before I make my prediction, I want to go back to last game's prediction here. Okay, so Alex, you had 31-17. And yeah, K-State did score 31, but
I'm 50% right.
But Arkansas State scored what I predicted, 34-20. Now had the right score, but apparently Arkansas State apparently had 34 in the game, and we all know what happened there. 34-31, Arkansas State. So I just wanted to bring that up there. I thought that was funny. Anyway, so 41-21, Alex says Oklahoma. And I'm in the same vicinity as well. I just don't think they're. And if that word is true from my source on the team, then K-State's in trouble. Now, hopefully that bye week. Now, obviously they lost a day of practice, but hopefully that bye week they figured some things out and just try to get some momentum. So, but yeah, this is, I mean, Spencer Rattler's first, and by the way, this will be Spencer Rattler's first Big 12 conference game, and it comes against a struggling K-State defense. Yeah, I don't see them, K-State, for whatever reason. It's just a gut feeling, Alex, that I just don't think they'll be more aggressive enough. I just don't think they will be.
Yeah.
And yet, I mean, yes, it's a new defensive coordinator in Joe Klanemann. Yeah, we thought he'd be more aggressive, or even more, a little bit more aggressive than Scotty Hazleton. We mentioned that on the podcast early on this summer, but early indications say no. We're gonna sit back and play back, and we're gonna do that and give up almost 500 yards, 500 total yards. It's Arkansas State, then that's gonna be a recipe for disaster. I guess it's Oklahoma. Offense and defensively, you're going against bigger guys, like you mentioned. And I want to see from them, from K-State anyways, I want to make this a small prediction here. I mean, I want to see them run the football mix it up a little, run the football first. Trotter's not the, I already mentioned my speech on Trotter, but you got to give a more balance on keep the defense a little more out of balance with the guys you have in the backfield. I mean, yeah, we lost, Joe Irvin, I don't know his status or whatnot, but we don't know the stats are right. And apparently there's a talented freshman back in there as well. I believe his first name is Kevion Mosier. I want to say it might be butchering his last name, but apparently he's in the backfield also. So I want to see them on the ground, and hopefully Skyler will be all right. But if not, he needs to make plays like he did last year. Now, obviously, this is not last year's game, but this is the script has been flipped. We're going down there, and we've heard all the discussions that, yeah, K-State plays better in Norman. But with this whole COVID, I just don't know. I just don't know. And yeah, K-State, this is going to be a loss in my book for sure. And yes, OU put up 48 against Missouri State. That was OU's first opponent. K-State's opponent, obviously, was Arkansas State. So, it's going to be another 40 point for OU in this one here. I'm going to go 45. Sooners 45. This might be a little out of hand, but I'm going to be slightly different here. 45, K-State. If they can get things going offensively, they can execute offensively, make plays, and not score opportunities, they can get some points, they can get some touchdowns in this game. But like I said at the top of the podcast, goes back to the Falcons. There, you score touchdowns. They're early in the first quarter, all touchdowns early in the first quarter, you win that. I mean, granted, they should have won the football game anyways, but you win that football game on the road, no excuses there. You can't score field goals and on the road. You just can't do it. So, and by the way, Blake Lynch missing two kicks, that's not going to cut it either, especially on the road. So, 45-20.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Is pretty fair in my book. So they will lose this game, first conference game, and then having a must win if it gets played. Again, I hate to look that forward. I hate doing that, but they're going to be in the 0-2 hole. I just don't have a lot of confidence right now. And it might be a whole Falcons thing, but I just don't have a lot of confidence in this K-State team right now. And they might, and if they don't get their act together, like we said on this podcast here as we close it out, you're going to be in trouble. So, yeah, that's kind of my predictions there to close it out.
And, Eddie, if they get 0-2, I think we're going to have to look back in the history books to see the last time K-State started 0-2 and on a football season, because I don't know if they ever did that under, you know, since the early Bill Snyder years. I really don't know if they have. Granted, this is obviously different circumstances because there's only one non-con game. And there's not three non-cons, four non-cons, where you typically start off, with a relatively good record going into conference play. But boy, I don't know, Kate. I don't know if K-State's ever started off 0-2 in my lifetime. So,
not hey, just
talk about backs against the wall if that ends up happening.
Yeah, not since I've been up here in Manhattan, Kansas. We haven't started 0-2. I don't think, anyways. If I remember correctly, I don't think we've been started 0-2 at least half long as I've lived in Manhattan / Kansas City. I don't think we started 0-2 at least to this point anyway. So,
and that's why that Arkansas State game was so important, and we touched on it a little bit prior to that. On our pre-show, I guess you could say, prior to the Arkansas State game, we're like, hey, K-State's got to find a way to win this game because you've got OU next, and 0-2 would be bad. And they didn't get the game, and now they're on possibly the verge of starting 0-2. So, I don't think they'll find a way to win. But if they do, awesome. That could be a huge momentum.
Yeah.
That could obviously be a huge just jolt momentum, and what a great way to start the Big 12 football season. But if you lose, you're 0-2, and, I'm just not sure what type of effect that would have on the team from a mental standpoint.
Yeah, so definitely K-State on notice on Saturday, folks. All right, that's going to close this thing out. Well, this is a Purple Project podcast here tonight. Alex Aiden Greer. Alex, my man, it was fun. Let's do this again next week, as usual.
I look forward to it. I look forward to meeting with you and talking post-OU.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Well, maybe not so much, but we'll have to see.
We'll have fun either way.
We'll have fun. We'll have fun either way. All right, that's going to close us out for this edition of the Purple Project Podcast in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden calling from San Diego, California. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas, saying thanks for listening to the Purple Project Podcast again. Purple Project Podcast, find it wherever podcasts are found. The latest K-State podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio.com, and SoundCloud. K-State going on the road to OU, 11 o'clock on Fox. Go Cats. We'll talk to you next time on Triple P.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.